So today I want to talk about repetition. Repetition as a universal condition that exists throughout existence. So I'm talking about the Patana condition, for which the Pali word is Asevana Paccayo. And as I have done before with other Patana conditions, I will try to relate this condition, this idea of repetition, to matter, mind, consciousness, and Nibbana, and the four ultimates of Buddhist philosophy. As I have explained these four already various times before, I will not bother explaining them again here. But it will be clear as I go on, I believe. So let us start with matter. Let us start with understanding how repetition relates to matter. So where in the material universe we can find proof for the universality of this condition. So in the first instance, one thing that might come to mind is the condition of the seasons. And the seasons are a physical manifestation of the condition of repetition. Now you have spring, summer, autumn, winter. And then the cycle starts again. And then you start again with spring. So this is one physical phenomenon which is a manifestation of the condition of repetition. And of course, nowadays we know that this phenomenon comes about through the repeated and habitual orbiting of the Earth around the Sun, which brings to mind a repetitive pattern of a smaller scale, which is a day-night cycle, which comes about through the rotation of the Earth around its own axis. So these are repetitions which exist for a long time, for many, perhaps billions of years. The Earth has been going around in yearly repetitions around the Sun, why it went around its own axis in daily repetitions. But then we don't actually need to look that far, because even within our own body there is a constant repetition going on. So on a cellular level, our cells are constantly eating, reproducing, excreting, eating, reproducing, excreting. Then certain cells die, and then another cycle starts with a new generation, which is constantly eating, reproducing, excreting. And these are kind of the micro cycles that are perpetually occurring within our own body. And these are the foundation for the slightly larger cycles of our own organs. Now, our own organs are constantly in a loop. Now, our own organs are constantly repeating their various tasks. And the heart is constantly pumping around the blood throughout the body. Now, whenever there's new food arriving, the stomach will break that food down into smaller, more digestible paste. And it's doing that with every meal. Now, the lungs are constantly sucking in oxygen, sucking in air, and then expelling it again. And then again, sucking in air and then expelling it again. So, and these constant repetitions make up our body, make up our physical existence. Now, these are the basis for our life. And now, when based on these repetitions, we begin to use our body. Now, they are the foundation that we can walk, they are the foundation that we can do anything, that they are foundations that we can talk, they are the foundation that we can eat. Now, they are the foundation for everything we can do with our body. So, and when based on these we act in the world, then usually we act in the world equally in a repetitive manner. Now, walking is a very repetitive act. Now, you put one leg to the front, then the next leg you put to the front. And in this manner, everything is happening. Whatever you do, most of the things that you do in your life, most of the things that you do in your day, you have been doing yesterday, you have been doing last week, last year, 10 years ago. And only because many people are behaving in this kind of predictable manner, following their own repetitions, only because of this, things like communities can exist, things like states can exist, and nations can exist. No, and a nation is exactly also just a large organism with smaller parts which follow their own small repetitions, no, like the organs and cells of a body. But no, even the nation is just a kind of organism, no, which is following its own repetitions and by that is participating in a larger organism. When many nations habitually interact with each other, then we can talk about their slowly forming a larger scale organism. That's just how things work. But then repetitions do not just occur in the material world. They are not just a phenomenon that is limited to the material world. And I believe many of us had experiences of repetition in our minds. Now, many of us have been struggling with having been harassed by ever the same thought or by ever the same emotion. The emotion or thought repeating again and again, coming up again and again. So that will be one of the more unpleasant repetitions that we might have an experience of in regard to the mind. However, those of us who also have done some good karma in the past, positive emotions and positive thoughts follow the same pattern. So if you have done something good in the past, recent or perhaps long ago, now the effect of that we usually experience as some positive emotion or some positive thought. Now in the same manner as with bad emotions, unwholesome emotions, painful emotions, in a similar manner it will be the same for positive emotions and positive thoughts. So if you have done something good, depending on your character and depending on the magnitude of your good deed, there will arise positive emotions and positive thoughts afterwards. Sometimes for a prolonged period of times, sometimes perhaps only occasionally. Once in a while, once in a year, you remember you have done something good in the past. That will be better than nothing. And that is exactly why doing good deeds, doing good karma is much better and investment than putting something onto your bank account. No, when you put something onto your bank account, if you don't take it away afterwards, now usually every month or so there will repeatedly be added some amount of further money. But the same thing can happen with your mind. The same thing can happen with positive karma. So if you have done something good in the past, depending on how much you have, you will get occasionally some gain from that, because at least off and on you will remember. The more good karma you have done, the more good deeds you have done, physically, mentally, verbally, on the one hand side, the less negative gain will arise, the less negative emotions you will experience, the less negative thoughts will arise, while on the other hand side, the more positive emotions will arise and the more positive thoughts will arise. So you gain doubly, so to say. And there you also have this hierarchy, this kind of nested hierarchy wherein many smaller scale phenomena add up to one larger scale body or entity. So many deeds done in the past add up to one good character, or many bad deeds done in the past, much bad karma adds up to one bad character. And being a bad character or being a good character again and again and again will add up to your life experiences, how you perceive life, how you encounter life, as well as what comes back, what is reflected back from the outside, back to you. And that is actually a factor, which I failed to mention so far, that is part of the condition of repetition. And that is that whatever is repeated usually leads to some kind of increase. Now, increase in gain or increase in ease. Now, the more you do something, the easier it becomes. The more you do something, the better you get with something. The more you do something, the more you are likely to gain from it. Now, whether that is equally true, for example, for conditions like seasons, I'm not exactly sure. But I believe it's possible. Perhaps, at the very least, the Earth maintains its orbit around the Sun with greater ease, for example, than it used to in the beginning of the Sun system. But in either case, we can say that generally speaking, this is an integral part of repetition, that something improves or something increases with each repetition. And now that will be equally true for the faculties of consciousness. Now the faculties of consciousness, now what we usually call our innate capacity to think constructively, now that equally increases with repetition. So now the basis for that will be the senses. So if you have keen senses, then you will receive many new informations. And when you receive many new informations into your mind again and again, after some time, your mind will begin to investigate what you receive, what is out there. And when you investigate again and again what comes in through your senses, your life experiences, then your mind will begin to label things. That is what you acquire language for. Your mind gives names to the things that you are experiencing. And that's what you use language for, and people take that for granted, but that is something that you can increase, and that's something you can train in, and something that is very helpful to be good with. Now, if whatever comes in through your senses you can have a designation for, then when you accumulate many designations and many times you begin to label your experiences, then you have a chance to think about these labels, these words, which are abstract representations of what's out there, not abstract representations of the reality that you find yourself in, abstract representations of what you receive through the senses and what is happening in your life. And when you begin to think about your experiences again and again, then your thinking becomes better and you evolve ideas. You evolve ideas about what is this world that you are in? What is this life for? What is the meaning of this experience? And later, what is the meaning of life? That is something that you can crack. That is something that you can come up with some idea about that if you learn to think constructively. And if based on your constructive thinking, you evolve ideas about what is out there, you have a chance to develop a constructive will. Now, that is something different from just wanting things to be different, or I just want this, I want that. Now, a constructive will that is based on well-informed ideas is an efficient will, is an effective will, a will that is capable of modifying your life. So, and the exercising of this will actually is what is usually meant by creating karma. And it is what used to be meant by doing magic. The capacity to produce change in accordance with your will is magic. And equally is karma. So that is how repetition works in relation to mind and consciousness, which in turn again feeds back onto matter. So, but then we have one last important thing to consider in relation to this condition of repetition. And that is how it relates to Nirvana, or how it relates to the path of liberation. Now, actually, any kind of repetition is dukkha. Any kind of repetition is a sign of imperfection. Now, if something needs to be repeated, that means it is imperfect. So we have to understand that the purpose of repetition really is to improve something. So that means that the path to liberation is the path to the ending of repetition. But it equally means that the path of liberation is the path to perfection. So until you are perfected, in yourself. This is not something that is dependent on comparing yourself to something else. It's about your own experience of perceiving yourself or experiencing yourself as perfect. Until this is attained, you still need repetition. But liberation is freedom from repetition, freedom from the need for repetition. Now, because things will be already perfect. So if something is perfect, then there's no need anymore for repetition. However, let's make it fully clear that in order to reach the ending of the need for repetition. You really have to clean up all your mess. Everything that you experience as dukkha, as imperfection, whether within yourself or without yourself, has to go. And until that is attained, you still need repetition. You still need repeated acts in order to clear up all the dukkha in your life, all problems, all imperfections. So until all that you experience is only Dhamma, only Dharma, only holiness and perfection, until that is attained, you still need repetition. And you must see to it that you do the right repetitions, and the repetitions that lead to the ending of dukkha. And that are repetitions that are done with knowledge, repetitions that are done with understanding, and repetitions with an intention to overcome karma, to overcome matter, to overcome mind, and in the end to overcome even individuality. That is what is usually included in the term consciousness or vijnana. So until you have transcended all these, you have to see to it that you repeatedly do the right steps. And that is perhaps enough for a small outline of the Patana condition of repetition, or the meaning and the scope of the fact of repetition in existence. Now, of course, there's much more that can be said about it, but as a small outline, maybe this should suffice. So thank you for listening, everyone, and hopefully maybe all become more skillful in only doing the right types of repetition, those that lead to an ending of dukkha. And with that, I end.